pressed on every side and yet not distressed. You see, we don't give up and quit. We don't have to worry about the pressure because it's been equalized. It says we're perplexed. Perplexed means we're troubled. There's all kind of trouble in this world. In fact, the more we look around, the more you're conscious of what's going on in this world, the more you realize there is trouble and there is disturbance around. But even in all the disturbances, you don't have to be disturbed. You don't have to be perplexed or despaired. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair, because we know the one who can take care of it. In fact, as we pointed out last week, the more trouble there is in the world, the darker things get. When we have a little light of the gospel, it burns even brighter. And this is a vintage point that we can start from. In a dark, dingy world where everything is gloom and doom, we can tell them about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loved the whole world. And when he came down to earth and visited man, he went to the cross and he died on the cross and paid for all their sins, past, present, and future. He died for the sins of everybody who ever has lived and everybody who ever will live. And he died and wiped it all out, the slate clean. And nobody has to go to hell if they'll just trust him as their Savior. He'll give them his righteousness, and they can go to heaven. You see, I'm clothed in the righteousness of God this morning, not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. I trust him. So this great gospel, this life, is out there. Well, we're perplexed, we're troubled, but we do not despair. We're persecuted. Now, everybody knows what persecution is. But even in all the persecution, we're not forsaken. Now, we in the United States do not know what persecution is. Now, Paul did. In fact, all the early Christians knew, you know, old Nero. He didn't like the Christians for some reason or another. And so he would have these little garden parties out in his backyard there in the palace. And about the time it would get dark, he needed a little light. So he would just bring in about 1,000 Christians, and he would pour oil on them, or he would pour tar on them, and then he would set them afire, and they would light up the party so they could see what was going on. And the accounts give that he would use as high as 1,000 Christians on one night in some of these parties. Now, I would call that persecution. Now, Nero put fire on them, and the gospel just spread around the world, and they evangelized the world in their generation. Now, the world does what to us? They just pour a little cold water on us, and they put us out. You know, setting Christians on fire, burning them up, didn't stop them. You know, we've got people in this auditorium this morning who, they've got friends, and if they just sort of, you go to witness to them or try to establish a little testimony, they look at you just a little bit quaint, you back off and you quit, and you just won't witness to them at all, and you won't try to establish a testimony at all. Isn't that right? Now, you know that a whole lot better than I do what you do. You know how bold you are for the Lord Jesus. You know whether you'll really take a stand for Christ or whether you don't. Now, Paul says we are persecuted, but God never forsakes us. He says we are cast down, but not destroyed. Now, what's he talking about there? Paul was stoned and left for dead on several occasions. I'm sure he's talking about the time he hit Lystra. When they stoned him, they cast him down, but they couldn't destroy him, because God wasn't through with him. And you know, as long as God has something left for you to do, all hell can't destroy you. There's nothing that can touch you just as long as God's got something for you to do. And when you have done the last thing that he wants you to do, all heaven can't stop you from going to heaven. You're gone. It's all over. We'll have your funeral that next day when you've done the last thing. And you know, when you've done the last thing you can do for God, then it's time to go home. The work's all over. Why not go home? There's no need in being disturbed and upset about having to go home. Why, people look forward to this every day. Millions of people all over the world. Boy, they can't wait till 5 o'clock so they can go home because work is over. Now, we as Christians, we have a job to do. Now, I have no fear of going home. When my job's through, I want to go. I don't let me linger here. I don't want to be a living vegetable. And I've done all the witnessing I can do. I've done all the teaching of the Word of God that I can do. And okay, let's go home and let's get it all over with and be up there face to face with Jesus. And have no more suffering and no more pressure, no more persecution, no more trouble at all. Notice what Paul says. He says we are persecuted, the ninth verse, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. And you know, we might add, scorched, but not burned up. Now, you see, it could have easily gone. But there's been no problem at all. It could have easily gone. But you see, God says it's not ready, it's not time for it to go yet. They said it on fire at least twice. Might have been tried to set it on fire three times. I don't know. We're not sure about that. And I don't know who did. Don't have any idea. Could be somebody in this auditorium this morning. I've got news for you this morning. Even though you tried to burn it down, God still loves you. If you'll trust him as your Savior, you won't go to hell. Now, I have no animosity against anybody who tried to burn the church down. Something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with them. But I do know God still loves you. And if you're still alive, you can still trust Christ your Savior. If you're here today. Now, I doubt it. I doubt the person is here who tried to do that. Might be. I don't know. But we're here till God gets through. Notice the 10th verse. Always bearing about in my body, Paul says. Now, I've been cast down. I've been stoned. And Paul had a lot of scars in his body. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Christ might be manifested in my body. Now, I've got some scars. I've got three scars up here on my lip. You know what they're for? Playing football. I used to keep scars, scabs up here all the time. I don't have any scars for Jesus. I've never had a stone thrown at me. I've witnessed to hundreds of people in my life, and I have never, in all of my life, had anybody to really treat me ugly when I witnessed to them. Now, some people have, and some, I just hadn't got a hold of the right one, I know. And sooner or later, I probably will, and that'll be all right, too. But I've never been hurt. I know a friend of mine, when I was in college, we used to go and preach in the taverns around in the town. We'd make it all right with the proprietor, you know, and we'd go in and we'd look around for the biggest guy there that we thought might cause trouble, and we'd go over and we'd say, now, I'm so-and-so, what's your name? If I get his name, we'd say, now, we're going to have a little service here in the tavern in just a few minutes, and if anybody disturbs, would you please help us calm them down and not cause any disturbance, you know. Because we figured we'd just always pick out the one we figured that might do it. And then we'd stand up on the table and preach. And this buddy of mine was preaching one day, and somebody took offense to what he said. And after he got through preaching, he came up to him and says, I want to see you outside. He says, all right. So he stepped outside, and they was in the light. There was a little light out there under the light. He started to square off to hit him, and he saw some scars on his face. And he looked at this buddy of mine's face that was doing the preaching. He says, I guess you didn't get those scars playing tiddlywinks, did you? And he said, no, I sure didn't. He said, well, I believe we'll just call this thing quits and forget about it. My buddy was pretty good size. He was about 6'2 and weighed about 225-230 pounds, and he was a pretty good man. And I asked him, I says, how, where'd you get the scars? He said, when I was 3 years old, a rooster spurred me. Now, he has scars. But let me ask you, do we have any scars for Jesus? Do we have any? Paul did. He says, I bear in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Christ might be manifested in my body. In Philippians, the first chapter, the 20th verse, he says that Christ might be formed in our bodies. Remember, we gave you the three verses of Scripture. It talks about Christ being formed in our bodies, that Christ being at home in our bodies, and Christ being magnified in our bodies. And here it says that Christ might be manifested. Christ might be revealed in our bodies. And you know, we need to have the Lord Jesus Christ reveal there the love that he has for people. Look at the 11th verse. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Christ, for Jesus' sake. As long as we are alive, we are ready to be delivered unto death. We are ready to put our life on the line for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal, our live bodies. As long as we're alive, we ought to have Christ manifested there so people can see him. So then, death works in us. We are ready to put our life on the line, even unto death, that you might live, that you might have eternal life. It's what Paul says, and he understood what he was saying, because as we said, they tried to stone him on several occasions, but he never stopped. He never quit witnessing. I'm sure he got cold water poured on him on several occasions too, and the cold water didn't even stop him. The third thing first, we, having the same spirit of faith, according it is written. Now, here's something old David said. David was a tremendous witness, too. David says, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. I trust that Jesus Christ will come someday and die and pay for my sin, David said. See, Christ hadn't died then. He was about 1,000 years off yet. He says, I believe. Since I believe, I'll speak. Paul says, we also believe, and therefore speak. Do you believe? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that if you die, you'll go to heaven? Have you spoken? Have you told anybody that God loves them and Christ died for them and pay for their sins, and they can have eternal life just by trusting in him? Paul says the reason why we can speak, notice the 14th verse, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Now notice why Paul could be so fearless, because he believed in the resurrection. You see, what a lot of people don't understand, and I'm afraid a lot of Christians really don't believe in the resurrection. Do you know that this body right here, if you kill it today, it's going to come back? My body, if it dies, it's not going to stay dead forever. It's going to come back to life again. The one you're looking at right now, and I'm going to walk on this earth for at least 1,000 years. God said so. God said so, I believe it. And that's the reason why we don't have to worry a whole lot about this old life. We've got a lot of people today that put all kind of emphasis on the body. The material is what communism does. Basically, communism is trying to get everybody to think that material things are the only things that matter. It doesn't matter if you have to kill off a million or a billion people, it's all right. It doesn't matter if you have to reduce man down to the level of an animal. We'll have perfect environment one of these days for these animals. Well, I got news for them. I'm not an animal. I'm a human being. I have a mind and I have a will. And they're not going to reduce me down to an animal. Now, they may be animals. I don't know. I can't speak for them, but I can speak for Nat Clark. And I didn't come from a monkey. Now, they may act like it a lot of times, and I may even act like it sometimes, but I still didn't. I want you to know the record. Make it plain and clear, you know. Socialism is the same thing. We're just interested in having everybody not to have to worry about something to eat or a place to stay or even sickness. We're going to do away with even sickness, you know. And we have a lot of people, you know, these healers today, that's all they're interested in is getting people well. And I've seen television a lot of times these healing meetings, but I have never heard them talk about on one of them yet. Now, maybe they do, and maybe you have, but I haven't. And I've been to some of these meetings personally, and I have never seen them talk about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and how that a person doesn't have to go to hell but can have eternal life by trusting Jesus Christ. And if they even mention Christ's death, it's sort of a bypassing thing. But if I ever get to the place where we mention Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as a payment for the sins of the world as a bypassing, I hope you fire me and I hope you kick me out of my home and not even have a place to stay. Because this is the main track, friends. This is the important thing. Is a man's soul. You can feed a man. You can clothe him. You can give him a good house to live in. You can put him back in perfect health. And let the man die and go to hell. And what have you done for? You just alleviated suffering for just a few moments. And he dies and spends an eternity in hell. Look what Paul says. He says, we know that he who raised up our Lord, or the Lord Jesus, shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us to you. For all things are for your sake. What we do is for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound. The word redound means to ever increase to the glory of God. Now, what we do is we preach Jesus Christ crucified, buried, risen. And he says in the 16th verse, for which cause we do not faint, we do not come discouraged, just like he said in the first verse of this same chapter. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy and we do not faint. Paul says we don't faint. But though our outward man perish, though this body dies, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You see, the inward man is the important thing. For our light affliction. Now, what is a light affliction? For Paul, it meant to be stoned and left for dead. It means to be thrown in jail and sleep among the rats and the roaches. That's a light affliction. It means to be beaten. Light affliction. It means sometimes to maybe not have all the clothes you need because he had to fend for his coat. But Paul says, for our light affliction is, which is but for a moment. See, if I get hungry, that's just for a moment. It's just for a short period of time. If I don't have enough clothes to wear, it's just for a short time. If my house leaks, it's just going to be for a short time. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. We don't look at the sickness of a man. We don't worry a whole lot about his not having something to eat. We don't worry a whole lot. I'm not saying we don't worry at all. And we ought to be concerned about people not having enough to eat. We ought to be concerned about not having enough a place well enough for them to stay. We ought to be concerned about them having good health. But that's not number one. And that's what has become number one in so many places. We don't look at the temporal things, the temporary things, but we look at that which is eternal. Now, man's soul is eternal. And that soul is going to either spend eternity in heaven or hell. And the only way that soul can spend eternity in heaven is to believe that Jesus Christ died in your place personally on the cross. He was buried and he arose again the third day as a payment for sin. Now, in just a moment or two, we're going to have some young people to give that testimony that they have done this by baptism. Now, baptism is not to be saved. I want everybody to understand that you do not have to be baptized to be saved. Baptism is a testimony that you already have been saved, that you trusted Jesus Christ to die on the cross as a payment for your sins. Now, the Bible tells us once we have trusted Christ, we should give our testimony. And the first way we should give it, or one of the first ways we should give it, is by a ceremony called baptism. See? And these young people are saying, as Jesus Christ died on that cross, I died. As he was buried, I was buried. As he has arisen again, I have arisen to walk in newness of life. I'm walking in a resurrection. I was dead, now I'm alive. You see? They're giving you their testimony. And they're not having to say a word. I'm doing all the talking for them. Now, I don't know, maybe you, this morning, you've never given your testimony by ceremony. Well, you should. The Bible says so. Not to be saved and not to stay saved, but because you are saved and you love the Lord and you want people to know that you have identified with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. You want to give this testimony. Now, it's too late for this morning if you haven't already done this. But we'll have another one later on. If you'd like to, we'd be glad to discuss this with you. Light affliction. Anything that's temporal is light. Anything that's eternal is hidden. And friends, I'm interested in the eternal. You know, our baby is always interested in the temple. You can tell a baby Christian right quick. You know, they want everything right now. You ask a baby or a child, you want a nickel today or a dollar tomorrow, and you know what they'll take every time. Paul says that he was hurt and he had something that was in his way, and he said, God, take it away. He said, well, I'll take it away. We're going to let it stay there. We're going to let you suffer. But just going to be for a short time. He said, that's a light affliction. Because I'm going to spend eternity in heaven where I'll never suffer at all throughout the rest of eternity. No suffering, no sadness, no suffering. That's important. And that's eternal. And that's what we want people to know and to see. I wonder this morning, as you're sitting here, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? If you haven't, you can do it in your seat right where you're sitting right now. The Bible never says you had to walk down an aisle and join a church to be saved. Never said you had to pray to be saved. It never said you had to be baptized to be saved. You can be saved anywhere, anytime. I was saved in a little cabin one night up in the mountains out from Los Angeles, California. I didn't tell anybody that I was saved for several weeks. I was still saved. I wasn't baptized for several years. I tried to get them to baptize me a couple times. They wouldn't do it, but if I'd have died, I'd still gone to heaven. I was fact, I was licensed to preach. I was ordained to preach before I was ever baptized. Didn't make any difference. I tried to. I told my preacher to baptize me. He decided that I'd already been saved previous to that. I knew I hadn't. But that's neither here nor there. You can be saved right where you're sitting. Will you trust him as your Savior right now? Right where you're sitting? Trust means to rely completely upon. You see, you're relying completely upon that pew to hold you up, and that's great to keep you off the floor. It'd be bad if that pew let you down, wouldn't it? Everybody would laugh and snigger because you hit the bottom. But it's no laughing matter when you hit the bottom and go to hell. But Jesus won't let you down. Jesus won't fail you. He told you if you trusted him, if you relied completely upon his death, burial, and resurrection to get you to heaven, you would have everlasting life. Will you rely completely on him right now? You haven't.